I'm with Sarah Hussain, who's a human rights lawyer who works on labor rights, human rights in Bangladesh. She's been trained in Britain and has a long experience of working on issues related to vulnerable communities, minorities, and people whose rights are affected. What we are going to do today is to talk about one of the major problems of human rights in Bangladesh, the rights of the workers in the garments, textiles, and other industries, who have of course come to, whose rights have come to the fore because of two factory disasters. One was a big fire that took place a couple of years ago in Tarzin, and the other was of course the collapse of Rana Plaza, the building in which at least 1,000 people and certainly more than that died. Sarah, it's been now more than a year since the Rana Plaza tragedy. Where are we in terms of compensation, in terms of improving working practices, inspections, and a longer-term respect for human rights?
Actually, it's also 2 years today from the Tazreen tragedy.
All right.
Exactly. And on this occasion, of course, in addition to grieving for the workers, which many of the labor rights organizations have done, and very tragically, there hasn't been any official commemoration of this horror story that took place 2 years ago today. What people have called for, or recalled rather, is first the numbers of people who have died in workplaces over the last 2 years. And they've also used the occasion to remember not only people who've died in the ready-made garment sector, but also as workers in both the formal and informal sector. People have also remembered today that despite the Tazreen tragedy, despite Rana Plaza, the world's worst disaster of its kind, there's been no shift in the law as far as recognizing the right to compensation of those who die or are injured in these incidents is concerned. So before Tazreen and Rana Plaza, if a worker lost their life in a workplace a disaster, they would get $1,000 or roughly $1,000 as compensation. Nothing has happened to change that. What has happened, of course, is because of the horror that was experienced in Bangladesh and across the world after both of these incidents, brands have come together in a process where the government of Bangladesh is also involved to put together, and of course international agencies are also involved, such as the ILO, to put together a trust fund to provide relief, essentially, to those affected. And the trust fund is entirely voluntary. It doesn't involve any kind of admission of liability or responsibility. So, of course, while it's still, it's of course a positive step in terms of being a way of trying to meet the needs of those who have been so badly affected in both of these disasters, it doesn't in any way address questions of accountability and responsibility and what kind of deterrent can be put in place to stop this kind of thing happening again.
Now, in that kind of a context, there's another question, of course, that the interest that these big brands have is in the elite tier of companies in Bangladesh, the 2,000 or 3,000 factories which primarily sell products to Western markets. But obviously, there's a much larger factory sector and much larger sector beyond the garment sector. I mean, one thing that you and I have talked in the past about is the shipbreaking sector in Chittagong. Could you elaborate on that and what is being done there? And are we creating islands of, not excellence, but islands where some rules are respected, but vast areas where nothing is being done?
Yeah, I think you're very right. It is creating these different different tiers or different pockets in terms of how workers are treated and the kinds of conditions they can expect. It's important to acknowledge, I think, at the beginning what has been done in terms of prevention of safety, in terms of putting in place safety measures and prevention of the kinds of disasters that occurred at Tazreen and Rana, specifically what has been done to stop fires occurring in the garment sector and what has been done to provide for building safety. Now, we have, of course, quite strong Bangladesh laws on both of these issues in terms of what the standards are. What we don't have is very effective working systems of how to enforce the laws. We have a kind of visibly tiny number of factory inspectors compared to the number of factories that require inspection. So the way that you can say the sort of the international global industry and the International sort of Workers' Alliance has come together to respond to the situation is coming up with two different arrangements called the Accord and the Alliance.
That's right.
Which deal with preventive mechanisms. Now, they've been quite controversial in Bangladesh, and the Employers Association and the government and sections of the media which carry a lot of their information were initially extremely critical of the Accord in particular for putting in place what they said were over-stringent measures. And even now, for example, there's a case in our courts which has been brought, I believe, on behalf of some companies against the Accord, claiming that the Accord is imposing standards which are much too high, which are higher than Bangladesh standards.
Also, that's a good thing, though.
I would think it's a good thing. Their argument is interesting. Their argument is that the Bangladesh textile industry is now having to comply with standards which go beyond domestic standards. They have been forced to comply in a way that, for example, Chinese industries aren't required to, Cambodian industries aren't required to. So their argument is basically, we're an industry which made it against all the odds to become the second largest ready-made garments exporting country in the whole world. We did it because we fought and won against our competitors. Now, if we're given standards to comply with, which are incredibly expensive and onerous, we will be pushed down in that market competition, and it will be an unfair way of pushing us down. I think our response to that really is to say, well, fine, if you don't want higher standards imposed on you, if you're saying you want Bangladeshi standards, and Bangladeshi standards are not that bad, mm-hmm. they are fairly
right.
rigorous. Then ensure that Bangladeshi standards are properly enforced. Then you need to really put your money where your mouth is and make sure that the Bangladesh system works. You can't say, I won't have higher international standards, mm-hmm. when whether you individually are responsible or not, at the end of the day, as a nation, we're a nation within which the world's worst ever industrial disasters happened. Since that has happened, in this sector anyway,
yes.
I should mention in the context of Bhopal and other things.
Indeed, that anniversary is coming up within a few days, yes.
That's just coming up. So in that context, you know, we do have a responsibility to ensure that we make sure it doesn't happen again. And I think if some people have to have slightly higher standards, so be it, just to ensure that we never have anything like this happening again. But going back to your question about does it create islands?
Yes.
Yeah, islands of protection and then islands of absolute non-protection. Yes, it does. What we've seen is that in the RMG sector, there has been this extraordinary focus internationally and nationally on what can be done to prevent this happening again. But in the informal sector, there's no protection whatsoever. And in fact, many industries, which are formal industries, where the labor laws apply, they have by way of protection is the domestic enforcement system with all its limitations and lapses. So it's really true now that if you actually, I mean, this is a terrible way to put it, but if you end up being a worker in the garments industry, who is injured at the workplace or who has the misfortune to die at the workplace, you will probably be getting, you or your family will be getting a better package at the end of the day than could possibly happen to you if you died in a boiler explosion or if you die, which is where the largest number of workers die, in the construction industry.
That's a sobering reality indeed, and just shows that the work ahead for you and for those who fight for human rights in Bangladesh remains a very formidable task. And we wish you all the luck and would love to work with you wherever we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Siri.
Thank you.